So here we are, worldwide live on the internet through BBS Radio. Good evening to you. My name is Gijs Minderhout. I'm located in Paradise, California. Today is the 22nd day of January 2018, a Monday night win-free hour online. Thank you for being here. This is, as usual, a conference call simulcast with this radio show. And we await for people to join in here on the phone line and, of course, also online through BBS. Again, thank you for being here. And I play a song from the Scorpions in the meantime. All right. Good evening. Welcome to the Monday show. Who did join in here on the phone line?
Hi.
Good evening. Hi. This is Cleo from Connecticut.
I hear Cleo. Good evening, Cleo. Welcome.
Thank you.
Yes, Chris.
Who else? Hello, Chris in Memphis. Welcome.
Hey, guys.
Jeannie in Citrus Heights. Hi,
hi. Hi, Jeannie. Good evening. Welcome.
Thank you.
Anyone else? We welcome you. And we are at the clock of 6, waiting for Wynn and Terry to become present over here. So no announcement email, not knowing what the topic will be or what will be happening tonight. Welcome to the conference call. It was two people joining in. If you want to, please say a name and location.
Hello, Roger. This is Ron in Mountain Grove.
Hello, Ron. Good evening. Welcome.
Thank you.
I heard another gentleman's voice.
Roger, Austin.
Hello, Roger. Good evening. Welcome.
Hi, it's Jane in Pennsylvania.
Good evening to you, Jane. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
And the next caller that joined in, we welcome you. Please say your name and location.
Hi, it's Don in Northern Ohio. Hi, Heis, everybody.
Welcome to the call, Don. Thank you for being here.
Thanks. Thank you.
Hey, Don.
Hi.
Hi, Don.
Hi. Got up to 60 degrees here today.
That's quite nice, I bet.
Comparatively.
Yeah.
What was your temperature, Heis? Like 80?
Over here?
Yeah.
It is, I don't know, it's probably also in the 60s or 70s.
Oh.
A rainy day over here.
Oh, well, good for you guys.
Yeah. All right, the helicopter is up there. Good evening, welcome to the call. Please say a name and location.
Hi, Susan in Virginia.
Hello, Phyllis, welcome.
Hi, Susan.
Hi.
And somebody else joining, welcome to the call. Please say a name and location.
This is Terry from Dallas.
Hello, Terry. Good evening and welcome.
Hello. Thank you.
Nice. Two more people joining. Welcome. If you want to, please say a name and location.
Hello. Shirley from Ohio.
Hello, Shirley. Good evening. Welcome.
Thank you.
Wynn in Sedona.
Hello, Wynn in Sedona. We welcome you.
Thank you.
Hi, Wynn.
Terry isn't here yet, is she?
Correct, she's not.
No.
Okay.
And we are live on BBS Radio. I welcome you all listening into the show online through BBS. And I want to mention again that every single night we do a whole planet healing call, which is right after this call at 7 p.m. Pacific. And you can find here the information. You can only call in per phone. You can find the phone number and access code at the dedicated website, www.wholeplanethealing.com. And we had another caller join in over here. Welcome. Please say your name and location. If you want to. We welcome you.
It's Helen in Virginia Beach. I'm muted.
Hi,
myself.
Helen. Good evening. Welcome.
My doggie's barking again, so.
All right.
right.
The next caller joined in. We welcome you. Please say your name and location.
Brenda.
Hello, Brenda. Welcome.
I'm fine. How are you?
Good, good. I'm doing well. Thank you.
Thank you.
And we wait for Terry. Terry Brown from Sedona to also become present over here. I'm glad to know that Wynn is present, and we will be starting this off here in just a moment.
I'm not waiting for anything. I'm just trying to decide what will we do tonight.
All right.
But I thought it might be a good opportunity to do an open mic. You know, I can't seem to, you know, this is the second time this has happened. And I can't seem to open up the recordings. Let me try a different browser. Okay.
You know, the thing is, I have this thing frequently that it freezes up my console. I'm good, though, so.
Mm-hmm. It's not frozen up. Everything else is working.
Okay.
Well, it's just that. Oh, second here. I'm trying a different browser.
Is it anybody's birthday today? Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, it's Prudy in Michigan.
Hello, Prudy. Welcome.
Hi.
Hi, Prudy.
Hi, Don.
Hi, so why do you want to know if it's anybody's birthday?
Well, then I would have a little song over here.
Did you hear that?
Yep. That's what I'm doing. I'm trying to play that little song, but then it's hanging up. It didn't work. The thing is that this, what's it based on flash drive, the current console, and I talked to Free Conferencing like a week or two ago. They said they recommended strongly to go over to the new system, but they have it for a couple of years already. The only problem is you have to change all your phone numbers.
Now, you know, what's happening to me is I opened it up on another browser, right? And I opened up all the recordings, and they're blank. There's nothing there, okay? So it's working. Looks like it's working. It allows me to open, you know, upload a file. Is it working for you if you open up your recordings?
Yes, that's okay. Present.
You see them, right?
Yes.
Okay. Now, who dares to come in this late? That's a good way to get someone not to identify themselves, right?
Waiting for a hang-up noise.
My bark is worse than my bite. It's okay.
You know, what kind of, when, like, George Norrie and people on radio shows, don't they use, like a microphone on a stand or something? Is there any reason you guys couldn't use something sort of like that for your, instead of the phone, or is that not possible?
Why, do I not sound good?
Well, I mean, you know, sometimes you guys have problems. It's not been too bad lately, but, you know, sometimes you break up and all that kind of stuff.
Well, you know, when you're in a studio, you're not going over the phone lines like this.
Yeah.
You're using, it's a whole different ballgame. You're using professional audio mixers, $500 microphones.
For all the phones you guys have bought, you could have bought a $500 microphone.
I'm busy on that.
Yeah. But the thing about it is that you need a place to plug in a $500 microphone.
Mm-hmm.
And if you plug it into your phone, the phone automatically limits the quality.
Uh-huh.
Okay?
So you couldn't really do it then?
Well, Skype apparently has better quality than a phone. And occasionally we've done it on Skype. And you can plug in a microphone to your computer, and it's, you know, it's probably the best way to go. Terry's not on, huh?
Correct. But then Skype also has issues.
But then, yeah, Skype has issues that screw up. But
what kind of microphone did you use when you were a musician? Whatever they had.
No, I mean, it was a $100 Shure microphone.
Right, there you go.
Was that wasn't Terry, was it?
No.
She's not going to check in.
Yeah, go wake
her up. Excuse me, she's not going to... Shall I go wake her up? Hang on a second. She's not going to use her cell phone, okay? Because her cell phone broke yesterday after the call. It is working. And so she's on Skype, and she'll probably sound really good. I set her up on Skype, and we have to replace her cell phone, which we'll do in the next day or so. And she's probably saying, oh, I forgot it. I forgot the call. Hang on.
Well, she's looking for
you know what? This is reality spirituality.
Very, very Zen.
It's a reality spirituality show. And, Terry?
Yeah.
Where are you? It's after 7.
Yeah.
She says, yeah. Call in on Skype. Here's Terry in her reality mode. But she's just like this in her other mode. I think what we're going to do today, you know what? A couple weeks ago, we had everybody talking after Whole Planet Healing. And nobody wanted to leave. Okay, guys, you can talk. See that?
That's an impressive silence.
Hi, is everybody unmuted?
Yes.
Yes, yes.
Nobody's doing anything interesting lately. We're all kind of hibernating.
Is that Terry?
John.
Hi, John.
Hi.
John, where have you been?
I have a cold, so I'm still trying to recover.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I saw something. I heard something interesting lately. I was looking at John Rappaport's No Fake
News. That's why I don't...
He was talking about the flu, so-called, and they're testing, like, they test, like, hundreds of thousands of people to see what they had, you know, when they came to the hospital or the doctor, and hardly any of them had any flu virus whatsoever. It's all something else. They don't even know what it was, but it's not the flu. And they're talking about flu vaccinations are very ineffective, like 10% effective. And then most people don't even have the flu anyway, so you have 5% chance of helping yourself.
Yeah. You know what?
Another virus in the public, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they don't know what it is, or they don't at least not telling us what it is.
Some sort of strain, like, I guess. it's a strain they can't cure.
If you are looking at the news, if anybody's listening to us, that's checking in for the first time, this is one of our Zen calls. And believe it or not, if we hang out in this nowhere land for long enough, and usually it doesn't take that long, things get amazingly interesting. So hang in there, folks.
Hello, Terry.
Hi, hi.
Are you standing right now?
Hi.
There we go.
Plus wind, the call's a third over already.
Yeah. No, it's not. A third because...
20 after. Quarter after. I look at my fast clock.
This is 10. Don told me BBS was going to start late tonight.
You better have 5 minutes till the hour.
Yeah. They were here 5 minutes before?
Yes.
Okay. Doug called me and said we're starting late. Okay. Would any of you guys like to ask a question?
Yes. How are you, Wynn?
Oh, yes. Thank you. Well, at least he asks, right?
Yeah. I do not expect an answer.
Now, you know what?
Yeah, hi, Wynn. You know, can anyone hear me?
We all hear you.
Yeah. I was wondering, since you said it anyway, I have a question. This is Brenda. I wanted to find out what whole planet yesterday. I kind of came in late and listened to it, the recording, and I was trying to find out which one you were reading from when you were talking about the Elohim getting all the configurations together. Do you know which one that was from?
Did you sign up for our mailing list on Intelligent Infinity?
Mailing list. I get emails from you. So that might be it. I get the email.
Well, we have a few different email lists. And the one on intelligent-infinity.com says, download, sign up here and get our free book, which is, I wrote that in the very early stages.
The creator of the Elohim.
Right. The creator
God. Elohim created the universe. Yeah.
No, the creator gods of the universe want to talk to you, is what it's called.
Oh, okay, I'll write that.
You have to go to intelligent-infinity and sign up.
I will. Okay, thank you.
And it's paperback.
No, it's not.
I got one.
Well,
okay.
I'll sell it on eBay.
You sell it on eBay?
No, it's going to be valuable someday, so.
Mm-hmm.
Like Dr. Friedman's book?
Oh, yeah. But that's a different one.
Right. Principles the same.
You know, I will tell you what we're doing.
Ben, we're not recording yet.
Good.
We're not. Okay, start recording, Hines.
This conference is being recorded.
I think today is January 22nd. Is that right?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this is Wynn and Terry in Sedona. And we're just kind of having an open mic, loose-knit reality talk show. So anything can happen. And nothing can happen. And you know what's cool? If you're into Zen, anything and nothing are the same thing. So it doesn't matter what happens. And, you know, it's very interesting that life is a teeter-totter between nothing happening and something happening. You realize most of everything is empty space. Atoms are empty space. Our world is made up of energy things with empty space in between them. And our life is made up of empty space. Do you realize that? In the course of a day, first of all, we sleep.
second of all, what are we doing? Do all of you have empty space in your life?
Sleep isn't empty.
No, sleep...
It's a good time to do metaphysical stuff, in my opinion.
Yeah, well, sleep, you know, supposedly you're working in other realms if you're lucky. And if you're not lucky, you could be working in darker other realms, which some people go to.
I always try to program in on some topic or other when I'm falling asleep in that zone just before you're falling asleep.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But, you know, ultimately, there's no amount of entertainment that can save you. Are you taking responsibility for creating yourself? You realize you're creating yourself. That's a very hard one, because you could say God created you, but okay. Hi, do you want to mute the dings?
Got it.
Thank you. Every day, we are creating ourselves. We are making day-by-day decisions. Now, some of us are creating ourselves by waiting for something to happen, waiting for the event, waiting for Jesus to come back, waiting for our negative shadow side to go away. And I'm thinking that if we wait long enough, it will go away. Has that worked for anyone? Tell me. I want to hear it. Does anyone have an experience of having mastered in some way or another, gotten above their shadow side? Do you guys know what I mean by your shadow side?
Yeah.
Yes.
Working on it.
Keeps coming back.
Pardon me?
It keeps coming back in cycles.
It keeps coming back.
Forgive me trouble.
Right.
I'm just trying to increase the positive frequencies and hoping it'll, you know, dominate over the negative parts.
I have a technique.
Who is that, Prudence?
Okay. Yes.
Go ahead, Prudence. Let's hear it.
Okay. If something's going on, like the shadow stuff, pick anything. I recognize it when it's going on, and then I step outside of myself, and I look at myself from, like, outside, and I try and identify it and go into it and face it.
Mm-hmm.
And when I identify it, I use the balancing techniques that are discussed in the Law of One material. And that seems to help.
Is that the one where they say, find God in everything, look at yourself in the mirror?
Well, it's the one where you say, okay, I have feelings of unworthiness, so the opposite of that would be worthiness. And so you think mm-hmm. of all the things that you were worthy. But you identify the emotion tied to, because all this stuff goes back to emotions, you know. It could be from childhood, you know. Because
mm-hmm.
the way I look at it, it's only two things. It's love or it's fear. And love and fear can't exist in the same space. So I try to distill it down to that. and I try to use the balancing technique to turn it into love. And that kind of dissipates the fear. That's what I'm starting to hone that, and it's working well.
Okay.
Oh. Terry channels a number of times about observing when you have like a negative thought or something. She says observing it is like the first important step.
I blamed mine on the moon. Astrologically, everything was opposed and squared today.
Previous life stuff.
Is that you, Don, talking?
Not anymore. He's done.
Well, no, but I just wanted to
make
sure I was addressing the right person. I agree.
Yep.
I agree that it's the first step is seeing the part of you that is your shadow. But how do we do that? I think that oftentimes it's what we don't want to see in ourselves. And so oftentimes what we do is we project those qualities that we don't like to see in ourselves or like to owe up to in ourselves, we see those qualities in those people around us. So when we get particularly irritated with somebody around us, the thing to do is to turn that back within and say, what part of myself am I not liking so well that I am disowning and therefore seeing in someone else rather than seeing it in myself? And that helps you to see what it is. It's basically whatever you're seeing around you that you don't like or that irritates you or that makes you afraid or that makes you angry or that makes you feel critical of somebody else. And then ask yourself, what part of me is that outside person or thing reflecting?
Mm-hmm. You know why people are having such a hard time talking on this call?
Why?
Well, I'll give you one thought that comes up is that when you are your shadow side is in front of you, you don't want anyone to see it.
Right.
So it's scary to talk. Thank you for talking. It takes courage to talk because you have to get over the fear of other people seeing it. Because what you find out if you go into it is that everybody has it. Everybody has the same experience. And we all want people to see us when we're looking good. And we don't want people to see us when our shadow's in front of us. Does that sound right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everyone agrees to that. Well, I'm not going to call it ego. It could be. But, you know, the desire to look good, it's not just ego. You know, when you look good and people notice you, and it's like one of the things that happens is we are all taking constant snapshots of everyone around us all the time. And those snapshots go into our memory and they feed some kind of collective memory bank of all the snapshots. So, you know, like you can be out in the world on one day and then your shadow side is up. And you go home, and now people are talking about you, and they're saying, Prudence didn't look good today. Did you notice? What's wrong? Or Wynn didn't look good today. or Terry always looks good. That's what's amazing. She actually, well, she looks good when she goes out in the world. She kind of radiates and people get it. When she's home, she can start going into her stuff more than when she's in the world. And something on her that's automatic pilot to serve this realm by holding a high space in it. And so it becomes this huge dilemma because we're wanting to look good. We know that creates a memory. It creates an impression. And same token, we don't seem to get over this shadow side. So this is an opportunity for everyone to speak up and not look good and not be judged. You guys all agree you're not going to judge anybody for however they are?
Yep.
Okay. That's one person, right?
I agree. I agree.
Some of you are listening and you're saying, oh, I'm not going to get into this one. But the truth of the matter is that when you get into it in this group, I'm not saying you can go around the world and say, woe is me. And somebody's sleeping there. Who's that?
I have a question.
Hang on, let me mute my sleeper guy. There we go. Go ahead. What's your question?
Can your shadow side be like, if you have a Meldekian entanglement, is that your shadow side?
If you're entangled?
If you have the Meldek entanglement.
Well, I'm sure it is, but you don't need the Meldek entanglement to have a shadow side, okay?
Oh, I understand that, yeah.
I mean...
But it's like differentiating.
That probably goes beyond shadow side. You know, on yesterday's call, on the questions I asked, the channeling we did, I thought that was amazing, okay? I mean, it's a whole new area of looking at yourself and saying, knock, knock, who's home? Because we have our conscious self, and we're all very aware of our conscious self. And we have all of this other stuff that is not in our conscious self, and that it's up. And one of the most amazing things, and I think we'll do another one of these next Sunday. Sunday calls seem to be good right now because Terry is handling it. And the energy on the Sunday call is fairly high. Maybe our highest call. Because we come there for a high purpose. And one of the things is that came up yesterday. We're talking about our lower self, our conscious self, and our high self. And I heard an explanation like that years ago from somebody, but it was not in quite the detail of the way they described it yesterday. I mean, a person said, you have three selves. They called it your basic self, your conscious self, and your high self. And, but what they didn't say is you could have more than one soul occupying you. And it sounded to me, by the way they were talking about it, and I'm going to do another one of these calls and get this more honed in next week. But the way they were talking about it, either your basic self or your lower self is a soul in of itself. And I would guess it's a less evolved soul. I would guess that, but I'm not sure of that. They said it could be service to self. And so your different selves, one could be service to self and one could be service to others. And that's going to create a conflict for sure. And everybody on some level has to have some service to self. You realize that?
Yeah.
No. Yeah. Why do you need service to self?
You have to take care of yourself.
You have to take care of yourself. That's right. No matter how much you're one with everything, and in the oneness, we get a feeling of contentment and a feeling of connection and a feeling of energy, but we still have our individual body. And your individual body is separated from the oneness. It's separated by its very nature because it has to take care of that individual body's survival, okay? And so, Terry,
yeah.
are you eating your dinner?
Does that mean mute myself? Maybe.
I can mute you.
Okay, and go ahead.
Terry is here. You get to experience Terry taking care of her service to self. Eating. Mm-hmm. Eating is service to self. You don't nourish anyone else when you're eating. But if you don't stay nourished, you can't do the other things you do that nourish other people. So it's a little bit of a quandary, a dilemma. And, you know, all the questions come up for me is if someone has a service to self, a lower nature, and they have a service to other conscious self, and they have a service to other high self, then how are they? And suppose it's reversed. Suppose your high self is the service to self soul. It seems like they were indicating that could be possible. So it's like not so easy to nail it down. The only thing I know is that I have done this numerous times, so I know it works. For me, anyway, I know it works. That is, turn yourself around so you're not being controlled by your lower nature. And if you do something from your lower nature, forgive yourself. You know, one of the things that seems to work really well at getting above your lower nature and feeling self-worth. Anyone know what I'm going to say? Sex. Why do you think that's such a chosen thing? How many of you have experienced feeling really great about yourself after sex?
Of course.
Thank you. I thought no one would admit it.
Everyone's shy.
Well, you know, in the polite world, we don't talk about. Now, in the polite world, sometimes people think badly of sex. And one of the things about sex, anybody mind me talking about it?
No.
Nope.
Are any of you curious about it?
Yep.
Oh, okay. Well, sex tends to balance you. It tends to open your chakras. It tends to activate your DNA. And, you know, it can give you, for depending on your own chemistry and nature, a boost, a phenomenal boost in everything, self-esteem, energy, self-empowerment, but it does it for 2 or 3 days, and then you're back in your normal resting mode. So it's like, unless you have a partner where you can work together and keep each other balanced in that way, when you go into it, if you're not going into it with a sense of commitment to the person, at least an attempted commitment, it's like you'll end up feeling good for 2 or 3 days, and then you'll fall back into your old patterns. Now, some people have really deep patterns, and others are less. And by deep, I mean really states of extreme loneliness, despair, unworthiness, all of those things. And now, you know, somebody else fixed you, okay? Somebody else fixed you, and you want them to fix you again. And they're not there. And you know, you believe they can fix you. So it becomes like heartbreak. Like you feel really bad because they're not there to fix you. Anyone ever have that experience?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. One person. One person admitting it, right? So, what do? Do we avoid sex? Do we just get fixed for 3 days and then go back to our normal thing? Or how do we work it?
Self-service.
What is that?
Self-service.
Self-service is one way. Now, self-service only works if you can, you know, basically, when you have sex, you're not just having sex with two physical bodies coming together. You're having communion, at least on a higher level. Okay? Let me just say, there's every which way you're having sex. So, you can't say this is the way it will always be. But in the best sense, you're having interface with someone's body, but you're also connecting with their energy field. And their energy field is complementary to your energy field. In other words, now there's all kinds of variations here. And, you know, there's plumbing and there is energy fields. Do you guys know what I mean by that?
No.
No. Thank you. No one knows what I mean, right? Okay.
I'm confused about it.
Plumbing.
What was the first word you said? What and energy?
Plumbing and energy. Plumbing.
Plumbing. Okay.
Plum. Plumbing. In other words, your part. your what's the common word for that?
Equipment.
Your equipment, right? Like a woman has a receptacle and a man has a probe, and the probe goes in the receptacle. That's the plumbing, right? Men always have probes and women always have receptacles. But energy-wise, a woman can be any degree from male to female. And a man can be anything from male to female, energy-wise. And some people can be both, energy-wise. What does it mean to be both? It means you can be receptive or you can be trusting. And it depends on who you're with. You'll respond to them and be what's appropriate, okay?
Isn't everybody actually both? I mean, to some degree?
Well, everybody is... People have predispositions, okay? So people have predispositions to be more feminine or more masculine, right? And as someone gets more enlightened, there's a term for it, androgynous. They can be both. But most people have a predisposition in one way or the one direction or the other, okay? Some people can have a high predisposition to be feminine or passive, okay? And some women can be trusting. You know, with lesbians, what do they have? They have names for that. There is dykes, right? A dyke thrusting female. And there are, what's the other word? Femmes, right? F-E-M-M-E, who are passive females, more passive, and it's their natures. It's nothing wrong or right about either one of those. It's their natures. And if one was androgynous, then one could move from one to the other as the situation required it. They were locked into one energy form. And the bottom line is we are trying to feel balanced. The other thing about men and women, and I said this before, but I'll say it again, is that in their archetypal energies, and by that I mean this is not everybody, but this is a majority of people. They have archetypal energies, and they become balanced in different ways. With a man, now this is something that I have come to observe, many women do not have a clue as to this. And they think men are supposed to be perfect before they'll get their love, okay? And the dilemma is when men become perfect when they are loved. They're not perfect before that, in most cases. They are needy. They have intense physical urges that cause pain in their bodies when they're not handled. And in most cases, now remember, I'm talking about archetypes. I'm not saying every man is like this and every woman is like this. But women don't archetypically have the intensity for release that a man has. A woman has the need to nurture. Nurturing is one of her qualities. So she wants to nurture a man or a baby, of course, and make him feel balanced if she understands the game. Because the game is feeling good, feeling balanced, feeling self-worth. And a woman can make a man feel that way if the man can allow himself to be vulnerable enough to receive that nurturing from the other sex. So to have a good relationship, each person has to be sensitive to the nature of the other person and do their best to help them be balanced within the context of their nature. And to do it with unconditional love. In other words, the best relationships are built on gratitude and not obligation. And that is the way you move any relationship from the mundane to the spiritual, through gratitude, where you give someone what they need, not as a bargaining chip, but because they need it, and they're with you, and vice versa. And then you feel a sense of gratitude for having your needs met, and the gratitude leads to a whole lifting of the vibration between the two people. But it's far easier said than done. And two people, it helps if both people are aware of the game and playing it by the same rules, because people are conditioned when they have an intimate connection with another person, they're conditioned to have expectations, and the expectations turn it into a mutual slavery rather than gratitude. Does that make sense? Nobody's talking.
Yes.
Well, okay, do you know what I mean by mutual slavery?
Yes. Yes.
In other words, you're not getting laid tonight unless you do this, this, and this, and this. Okay? And
codependence.
Well, interdependent. What you're aiming at is interdependent. Okay? It's like you don't have to be ashamed of your needs. It's like your shadow side. You don't have to be ashamed of your shadow side. You have to work with it so it doesn't inflict on another person. But in the best of relationships, it's like you handle the other person's needs not to control them, but because you care about them. I mean, we're not responsible for our needs. We find ourselves in these bodies. We find ourselves with these urges. We find ourselves in all kinds of things. And I haven't seen a way to make them successfully disappear. Somehow you have to work around it.
Win 5-6-7.
Okay, I know. We got to get off. Yeah, I knew we'd get into something that everyone was interested in, like sex. Right? It's a big mystery, though, because it's so difficult to deal with. A lot of people just avoid it. Yet, it is the fastest way, if you can get it to work, to feel balanced, to lift your DNA, activate your DNA, to feel more happy in life, to feel more empowered, all those things. And it seems like such a nightmare coping with it that instead of doing all that, the thing is, one of the things is, when you get into a relationship with another person,